finishing our sermon series on the book Incomparable by Andrew Wilson. It's a book which beautifully and succinctly explains many of the different names given to God in the Old Testament, each time opening our eyes to the facet of God's character that that name embodies. Each evening service from the very beginning of the year, we've gone into one name in depth, and I've really, really enjoyed it. And there are lots of practical and personal aspects to the Christian faith, but I think it's been really good to dig deep into who God is, because the more we know of him, the more we're drawn to him, to worship him, to serve him. If you've enjoyed the series too, I do know you can get the book from the Christian bookshop outlet, which is here in the lounge every Wednesday morning. Or if you can't make that, I'm sure if you ask lovely Liz, who has been leading the band tonight, and she'll be able to get you a copy. So, our final week on Incomparable, as Louise said, we're looking at the name, the rock that is higher than I. So when I first read this name, I was like, eh? I'd not really heard that before. I'd heard quite a lot of the others, and I've heard of God called the rock, but I'd never heard it put in that phrasing before, the rock that's higher than I. And it actually comes from Psalm 61, which is going to be up on the screen. And it says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." Psalm 61 is one of the psalms written by David, either when he was being hunted by Saul or Absalom. His enemies are at his heels, and he is pleading God to provide him a safe refuge. And when I was looking into this a bit, I saw that there are two parts of this name which I kind of wanted to look at separately. I want to first talk about God being a rock, or leading David to a rock, and what that means. And then I want to look at what being higher than I means. So first I'll look at the word rock. And what I find quite interesting about this is what David doesn't mean by the word rock. He's got quite a specific meaning. Now, God being our rock is quite a common concept. And our thoughts about it often come from the New Testament, I think. We think of when Jesus said, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone, the cornerstone," meaning himself, Jesus, who the religious leaders rejected, is now the foundation of our faith, the creator and the perfecter of it. And that's completely true, but that's not what David's talking about. We think about Jesus' parable about the man who built his house on the sand and the man who built himself on the rock. And the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. Meaning that we should have Jesus' life and teaching as the solid foundation that we build our lives on. Because we know that his ways are better than ours. And again, that's completely true, but that's not what David's talking about. We can think about God's unwavering strength, or even about mountaintop views which fill us with awe and wonder at his creation, but neither of them is what David's talking about either. So what does he mean when he says to God, "Lead me to the rock"? And David's use of the word rock is a very Old Testament usage. In the Old Testament, the words rock, fortress, stronghold, refuge, and deliverer are all very interchangeable. They all mean the same thing. David isn't describing God's character here. A rock is a physical place. A rock is where you're safe from the weather and from your enemies. The Jewish historian Josephus gives quite an in-depth explanation as to what he means by rock when he's describing outlaws hiding from the authorities. Josephus writes, "These rocks were in mountains that were extremely sheer, and around them were nothing but precipices. There were some entrances into the caves, but they were surrounded by sharp rocks. And this is where the brigands lay, hidden, with all their families about them. It was impossible to get up to them because of the steep sides of the mountains, nor to get down to them from above. So this is what David means when he uses the word rock. And it's this place of safety, this sanctuary, this refuge that David comes back to again and again in his journey with God and his prayers. In fact, he uses the word rock loads of times in the Psalms. And I'll just give you a few more examples. Psalm 18, verse 2, he writes, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Psalm 27, verse 5, he writes, "For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." And Psalm 62, verse 2, "He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." So in all of these verses, God is either called David's rock, or he provides for David a rock of safety. And this is what David is pleading for in our passage today, when he says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." He desperately needs a place of safety, a stronghold, and a fortress where he can rest. And he's asking God to provide one for him. But that's only half of the story. What about the rest of it? What does the rock that is higher than I mean? What's that all about? And to try and explain this, I want to borrow a story that Andrew Wilson used in his book Incomparable, who in turn borrowed it from Charles Spurgeon. So, it was Scotland, December 1862. Storms had shipwrecked a number of boats off the rocky northern coast. Sailors, forced to abandon their ships, had swum through the torrent towards the shore, hoping to reach safety, but had discovered that the cliffs were too steep to climb. Dozens of men, each of them a father or husband to somebody, had died, battered to death or simply drowned. The young local vicar, hoping to rescue some, began to work tirelessly to chisel steps out of the chalk cliff so that shipwrecked sailors could climb from the beach to a shelter of safety above it. His efforts saved many lives, with the refuge in the cliffs providing shelter from the storm. Over time, however, erosion wore away the steps. Within a few winters, sailors who were cast adrift in the area were drowning again, approaching the coastline in hope, only to find the chamber was too high for them to reach. In many cases, the helpless young men died actually seeing the refuge above them, tantalizingly and excruciatingly out of their grasp. Eventually, it was decided to hang chain ladders from the top of the cliffs for sailors to climb up to safety. And I believe it's something like that that David has in mind when he talks about the rock that is higher than I. I think he felt like the sailors who could see the refuge above him, but that they could see the chamber in the sheer rock wall where they'd be safe, but they couldn't reach it for themselves. It was higher, physically higher than they could get to, and they needed help getting there. And similarly in Psalm 61, David is asking him to bring him to a place of safety that he can't reach on his own. He's saying, "God, I'm surrounded. I can't save myself. and I desperately need your help and your protection. Please provide for me what I can't provide for myself. He's desperately pleading with God because he himself is helpless. But he is certain of the strength and security that God has promised him and will provide for him. And he's asking for that. So how does that apply for us today? When David is talking about a rock, he's talking about a place of physical safety, of military salvation. It's either a physical place where he's safe and secure when he's asking to be led to a rock or be put on a rock. Or when he calls God his rock, he's trusting that God will save him from these flesh and blood enemies of his. And we don't really have any physical battles or physical enemies to fight today, but it applies equally to us as a place of spiritual salvation. That God would save us from the enemies of sin and death. Because salvation simply means deliverance of some kind. For David in the psalm, it's deliverance from his enemies. But for us, it means deliverance from our own wrongdoing, our own sin, and from the death that we deserve on account of that. And this is what I really love about this name of God, the rock that's higher than I. When I was digging into it, I found that on the surface, it can seem fairly ordinary. You could just read it, if you glanced over it, that maybe God is our strength or he's our firm foundation, which are both entirely correct. But when you take both halves of the name in context, it becomes an embodiment of the gospel. It literally means that God is the place of safety. He is the salvation that we can't reach ourselves because we're too weak and frail. And it means that God, in his grace, saves us, chooses to save us when we can't save ourselves. He is the rock that is higher than I. And this is because the Bible teaches us that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That everybody does what the Bible calls sin, doing things our own way and not God's way, putting ourselves first and him last. And the penalty for that is death. If you were here a week ago, you'd heard me talking about that in the morning. What's more, none of us can save ourselves from this. As sinful, simple human beings, we have no power to overcome our own sinful nature. So if we try to save ourselves in our own strength, it's entirely out of our reach. It's unattainable by our own efforts. And this is even more so for us than it was for David. At least David had armies, he had friends, he had allies who might have been able to help him. He might have had some chance of saving himself. But we have nothing. Like the shipwrecked sailors, we are floundering and drowning with no steps or ladders to get us up to safety. That means we are solely reliant on God to save us from our own sins. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus came to earth and died on the cross for us that we'll be celebrating on Good Friday. I find it interesting when non-Christians ask us, what's so good about Good Friday? You're remembering that this guy you worship died a gruesome death. And it's because that death was so important because it set us free. He died the death so that we can live. The punishment for sin is death, but Jesus saved us from death by dying in our place. And what's more, he defeated death by rising again on Easter Sunday. To continue the analogy of the sailors, it's like he's throwing the ladder down and he says, come on, come on up. Come to me and come to safety. I've done it. It's finished. You're saved. Jesus Christ is my rock that is higher than I, because he has provided the salvation from sin and from death that I could never provide for myself. It is something that I could never reach, and he has bent down and given that to me. And if anyone here hasn't experienced that, he will give that to you too if you ask him. And so the final name from our series on Incomparable takes us right back to the very heart of the gospel. David's cry to God was out of desperation. It was both a recognition of his impotence and helplessness in the situation he found himself in, but it was also an acknowledgement of the utter security and strength promised to him by God. Throughout all of the Psalms, David is always praising God, even if his psalm starts out with a plea of desperation for safety or for security or for repentance. It always ends in praise because he is confident that God will deliver. And that's what he's doing here. He's pleading to God because he knows he'll be heard. So whoever we are, wherever we are with faith or with God, we can often have times where our eyes are opened and we realize how helpless we are in the situation we find ourselves, how greatly we are in need of rescuing from whatever pit we're in, be it made by ourselves or other people. And it's in these moments that we can cry to God, just like David did, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Father, lead me to Jesus. Lead me to safety and to salvation. Because I know that he made a way for me that I couldn't do for myself." And whether it's the first time you've asked God for that or the thousandth time you've asked God for that, he will hear and he will answer. He is the rock. Amen. Shall I pray? Lord, I thank you for everything that we've learnt going through the book Incomparable. I thank you for opening our eyes to the different aspects of your character every week, and I pray that we'll take that away and that we will grow to know you more and more and more, and to love you and serve you more and more. Lord, I thank you that you have saved us. You have become our rock when we were powerless. Lord, even when we didn't need you, Paul writes that when we were enemies, you still came to save us. I thank you, Lord, for your grace that you did that for us. I thank you that you are the rock that is higher than we are, but that you lead us to yourself. Thank you for that, Lord. Let us never forget that. In Jesus' name, amen.